when adversity hits, you have to run head on to it. You have to run into the storm. You can't run away from the storm.
Welcome to Hoop Nerds with Billy Kegler, presented by the Wisconsin Basketball Coaches Association. We talk to coaches, athletes, and more to learn from their stories and apply learning lessons to improve each individual and stimulate growth for your program, team, staff, and self. Follow along as we explore success and failure en route to improving the game of basketball.
Before we jump in today, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to my friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. I've been associated with their products for a few years now, and I'm really impressed by their innovative and user-friendly shooting machines. They also are great people with tremendous customer service. It's no wonder why they have become the preferred choice among top programs around the country and world. I am very grateful for their support of the show. Make sure to check them out at drdishbasketball.com and at Dr. Dish B-Ball on social media. Be sure to mention WBCA when ordering your next Dr. Dish to save an extra $300 off any commercial purchase. You talked about playing one-on-one. I think traditionally people think about playing one is check it up at the top of the key and play from there. Can you go through some of the ways that you vary playing one-on-one with your players so they're getting a different skill set each time you play or getting a different look or reaction so it's also fresh in their mind? So it's not like, oh, coach is having us do the same old thing again, and you can make a small tweak and make it different for them.
Well, I'll start by saying our guys love playing one-on-one. So if we're doing 15 minutes of skill development, right, or 20 minutes at the beginning of practice, we'll always try and emulate the moves one-on-one before we go one-on-one. We don't use a lot of pads with our guys anymore, but we try and use live defenders to kind of simulate, right, what the defense is going to do to you. Because there's no better way to learn how to play the game of basketball than to play the game of basketball, right? So it might be in different spots, and we'll mix up all these different areas on the court. You're simply shoulder to shoulder with your guy, with your defender, and when you move, he moves. It might be you dribble around a guy, right? If we're trying to make a point about how to see secondary defenders, maybe at the beginning of practice, maybe we'll do a couple different of the same drills, but we'll add in another person. So we're playing 2-on-2 because our secondary reads aren't great. So that first 5 to 10 minutes of practice now, we are teaching our guys how to feel primary, see secondary in a controlled 2-on-2 environment, right? We all know the game's not played 2-on-2. I love playing 5-on-5 more than anything else. But sometimes you have to break those reads down for your guys so that they can have simpler reads while they're feeling primary, seeing secondary, than just playing 1-on-0 or 5-on-0 scripted offense. So we do a lot of different drills. I have a lot of kind of stuff in my Google Drive folder that I can kind of pull out now that I've gotten from other coaches, or we've just kind of learned and gravitated towards because they work, right? But really the first 20 minutes of practice is trying to hit home on maybe some protection plans we'll use, right? If you're a conceptual-based coach, everybody knows the Barkley series or the Nash series, right? Different reads and basically protection plans. When you get to that 5 to 10 foot area where a lot of fifth graders that I coach to college kids that I coach, right? That's where their turnovers come in because they're jump passing, right? They might be taking some contested fadeaway jumpers, right? Or there's a lot of variables that come into play here where young men make the inappropriate read. So we want to try and teach them how to make the great read, because obviously they must have made a great play to get a small or big advantage to get to paint, right? So we always want to praise that, right? Wow, you did a great job. You got to the drop zone, okay? Now let's think of a better way to play, right? So that you can make that play next, right? And make that huddle highlight reel that we all want to make, or the synergy clip up that we can do, you know, for the next day for our guys. Another thing we do, which is probably unique, we're going to do a lot more next year, is we're going to play one-on-one from 10 and 15 feet a whole heck of a lot, working our Barclays and Nashes, right? I think that's something that we have not done as good of a job at. That is, I've done some postseason reflection. Those are some areas I think we can enhance our read-making skills on, as well as our playmaking ability, because that's such a tough area to play defense on, right? You even look at the NBA guys, a lot of their actions are coming from 10, 15, 18 feet on kind of that mid post. Then they'll run some cuts or some screens on the backside, and people can really get great looks out of that. And we have some guys who can play inside out, and we have some, you know, smaller guys too, that they don't actually know how good they are with some of their skill sets. inside of that drop zone area that can help us get to the line more, right? Because if you can make more free throws than the other opponent shoots, you're going to win the majority of your games because you're going to have your team in foul trouble.
Right. One of the big things I pulled out of there was making multiple positive decisions in a row. And that's just like my golf game. Great drive off the tee, and then I duff my iron, right? So, it's in everything we do, it's making sure that we're consistent with the decisions we're making, and you're trying to implement that in them on a consistent basis.
And we show a lot of film too. You know, we're not in film for an hour. You know, guys' attention spans, they're not as high. You know, the invention of social media, which I do not have, like I'm not embracing the social media stuff. I know my assistants want me to do it more, but I kind of understand, right, the concept behind it. Because I can't sit and film for an hour anymore either. So we have all the technology in the world. I know you've had other college coaches on, whether it's Synergy. We have a kind of a new platform we're using called Fast Scout, right? Where you can send clips to your guys on an app. So in season, right? If I want to highlight a couple clips that they did well, I mean, it's a few clicks away. Boom, it's getting to their phone. And our guys will watch it. That's the cool part about our guys. I love them. They will go and be like, yeah, coach, I love those things you showed me. Then we can show them in practice, right? So trying to do more with less, because guys will be on their phones, embrace it. All of our scouting reports are via Fast Scout. A lot of our film cutups we send to them as well via Fast Scout. And it's so smooth. It's so slick. And we can get a lot done in a shorter amount of time. And our guys have really appreciated that.
Okay, transitioning away from X and O stuff, but sticking with this theme of getting a lot done with less. I think you're in a unique situation you're in a situation with not a lot of resources. You're a full-time coach, but you don't have any full-time assistants. So you're relying on part-time assistants. And whether it's a high school coach who's pulling on community members, whoever it may be, is trying to put puzzle pieces together to make a successful product. But I want to talk about the player, and you talked about joy and love with them. So how are you able with your schedule and your assistant's sporadic schedules to keep tabs on all your players? I'm curious if you have systems to help with that. So you ensure that they are finding joy every day. And if they need a little bit of a pickup, you're able to do that for them.
Yeah, I mean, so that's one of the unique situations, right? When I was at Lakeland University, I had a full-time assistant. Coming here, I have a graduate assistant and some part-time stipend dollars, right? And we have had to be creative. I think that's the one thing that I've had to learn over time is you should always try and be solution-driven, right? So shout out to you. You were my remote video coordinator for a few years that probably nobody knew about, that you'd help me, right? Break down film. We'd hop on calls. We'd talk about the next opponent, what went well, what didn't go well. And I think in anything in life, you're never going to have the perfect situation, right? Someone's always going to have more. It's kind of like that, the money concept, right? I wish I could make more money. We always want more, right? But at the end of the day, you have to be content with what you have. So we've had to be really creative, right? At trying to find guys who love the game, who want to be a part of the college game. And I've been extremely blessed to have a group of assistants who really do love the game and kind of want a crack into college coaching. And I think part of it has been me, as I've gotten older too, I've been able to delegate more and let them dive into their strengths. You know, the first thing we want to always do is we want relationship minded coaches, right? So we want our guys to love to come to the gym, right? So in order to do that, you need to have a group of coaches who love to come to the gym to mentor players, right? We are a niche fit school here, right? We're a Christian-based institution. So, you know, the mission of WLC is we want to build up Christian servant leaders. So we have to do that differently, right? Because we're preaching, we're modeling servant leadership. I fall short every day. I'm not great at it, but I strive every day to get better. So it's really important that we find guys and coaches that want to do that. Because again, we say this to our guys all the time, you're the sum of five people you spend the most amount of time with. So it's really important that when we're building our group, right, and we're building our coaching staff, that we want to have a bunch of guys who love being around each other. You know, I've heard as I was building the staff, you know, throughout my years, you want a bunch of guys who are different than you, and everyone's going to tell you in the world what you should do with your staff. My opinion's a little different. We don't have to be in the same page of the book, but we probably should be in the same chapter. So we should have the same mission. We should have the same goal. I love their feedback. I want to hear what they're thinking. But we have to be unified in what our overarching goal is for our basketball program. And if we can love our young men and see them grow, and we can try and be the best today, guaranteed the results are going to take care of themselves. So I think that's one aspect we do. We do a ton of leadership book reads. So one of the things that I've kind of explored since I've been here is we make our team read books, and that's a little unconventional, right? Most people don't want to read books. One of our biggest probably downfalls last year, I could say, was performance anxiety. So I bought 4 books this offseason that I'm reading with our coaching staff, dealing with how to overcome performance anxiety. We were 1 game away. We had to win 1 game out of our last 3, Billy, to win our 3rd straight conference championship here. You know, 2 years ago, in my 3rd year, that was your last year's video coordinator. We won our first ever conference championship at WLC in the Northern Athletics Collegiate Conference, right? So we went from not winning the league to win the league back to back. And our guys, honestly, they're phenomenal young men, but they kind of froze. I'd like to say we weren't putting pressure on them. Maybe our actions weren't what our words were, but I need to make sure that we can be more proactive with that, because I felt like no matter what I did for our guys to try and take the pressure off, indirectly, the deep thoughts in their head, they were putting way too much pressure on themselves, because it's just basketball. End of the day, if we won our 3rd straight conference title, what was the end goal? We didn't have guys going to the league. We have guys going into the real world careers. I wasn't leaving this job, whether I won a conference or not. So at the end of the day, what was winning about? I think that's how you have to redefine what winning is to you. And I took our seniors out to dinner a few weeks ago, and it was fun talking about all these things after the fact, because I told them, like, whether we win or lose, guess what? We get to go to practice the next day because we have the conference tournament. And no matter what happens, like, I still love you. You can miss the shot, you know, and we didn't do well the last couple of games, but it didn't change how I felt about them, right? It was just another opportunity to learn and grow. And I don't think we fell short. Some of our guys may still say we fell short, but I think we learned and grew. And maybe without that moment, that's probably a Tony Bennett slogan, right? We can't get any farther in the process of our program. Mm-hmm. So because we've had, you know, maybe that setback, I've been able to read a ton of books. You know, one of my favorites right now, it's called Victory Favors the Fearless. I actually read it to my kids, and I'm reading another one called Win in the Dark. Phenomenal reads that deal with how to overcome some of those deepest, darkest fears that we all struggle with. Everybody in life has fears, right? Maybe it might be the fear of failure, the fear of letting your mom or dad or girlfriend down, letting somebody down, fear of playing in a big game or big moment. I mean, this isn't just a sports example. This is a life example, Billy, because no matter where you go, you're always going to have new challenges that you are going to have to overcome in life as a worker, as a future leader, as a potential husband or father. When adversity hits, you have to run head on to it. You have to run into the storm. You can't run away from the storm. So, you know, my challenge for myself is, how do I get our guys to run into the storm and thrive? So some of the things we're doing too is I'm trying to find a sports psychologist to work with our guys. Being a person who has had anxiety over sports, as you know, behind the scenes, I have a son who struggles with a lot of mental health issues that just popped up in the last year. Parenting has been the biggest blessing and the hardest challenge to me, because now you have to raise these individuals. And it's been unique seeing it from a different light, because as my kids have gotten older, I feel like I've become a better coach, because I can put myself in everybody's shoes of what they're feeling. Take it one step further. I was the star player at one point in time. I was the player who got hurt. I was the team captain who didn't play. So no matter what area our student athletes fall on the bench, I've been there, you know, and I can resonate with them. You know, if there's an athlete coming back from an ACL or two, I can resonate with that. If there's an athlete who gets a panic attack in pregame and can't go out, I can put my arm around him and work with that student athlete to try and get him to that game, right? No matter what we've went through as a team, we can grow. And I think that's a huge part for me as I've gotten older, is I'm not chasing levels. You know, I'm not trying to get to Division I. If we can win a national championship here, awesome. But that's not what defines me. I love working with young men. I hopefully over time, you know, I think, again, the older I've gotten, the better I've been at it. But the guys just got to know I love them. and I'm always going to be there for him. And that's probably something that's I did not always do when I was 25, but now that I've gotten older, I've become more content with my life, and it's been able to help me grow as a coach.
As many listeners know, I spent over 6 years as a general manager at Just the Game Fieldhouse in Wisconsin Dells. I was able to spend time talking hoops with coaches like Tom Izzo, along with high school and youth coaches, in addition to meeting some basketball legends, including my childhood favorite, Sam Elke, who is in the WBCA Hall of Fame and High School Basketball Museum, located at Just the Game Fieldhouse, which is a must visit for any true hoop nerd. They also play host to the WBCA All-Star Games and Coaches Clinic every year. Just the Game hosts over 70 basketball and volleyball tournaments annually and is a great place to play for teams of all ages and ability levels. You can't beat all Wisconsin Dells has to offer in your free time. The Fieldhouse also has two sister companies in Just the Game Impressions and Just the Game Live. Just the Game Impressions specializes in customized screen printing and embroidery and promotional products. They serve businesses, schools, sports teams, and more. Just the Game Live takes pride in providing affordable and simple live streaming solutions for venues or programs of all kinds. Inquire today for more information. For more info on everything Just the Game has to offer, check them out at justthegamefieldhouse.com.
Sideline Interactive delivers digital and LED scoring tables and video boards that generate excitement in your gym and the ultimate game day experience for your players and fans. We provide you the blueprint and the game plan to generate $10,000 or more in sponsorship revenue every year. 95% of our schools generate enough advertising dollars during the first school year to pay for their purchase. Any school or college can qualify for no fee, no interest financing over 2 school years. We're ready and able to deliver your order to you within 3 to 4 weeks. The tables and boards can be used for any indoor sport, as well as watching game film, school assemblies, signing days, or any other event that is held in your gym. Visit sidelineinteractive.com or call 832-786-0302 to schedule a 15 to 30 minute live web demo to see our tables and boards in action and what these fantastic products can do for you. Or email sales@sidelineinteractive.com. A link to sidelineinteractive.com is in the show notes for today's episode.
I mean, everything with experience is a huge driver, and it helps us with anything we do. And, you know, we were talking earlier about being a head coach and like never really, or I was talking about never really knowing what you're doing, and you just figure it out as you go. And we're talking a lot about non-basketball things, which I think is really important. And I always talk about positive impact and what you do with your team. And so I'm curious if you can define for me, and you talked about this earlier, finding your why. And you have 18 to 24, whatever your roster size is, young men that are going off into the real world like you listed. Maybe what's one way in which you help each of them find their why if they feel like they're not really having a purpose into what they want to do when their time is done with you at WLC?
I think number one, it's time. You have to invest time into your guys. You have to get to know them. You have to figure out kind of what makes them tick, so to speak. So, you know, we had 7 seniors. They all had vastly different backgrounds, right? There was one player who I knew, he loved the stock market. So every day we talked about the stock market, how it was trending. I don't understand anything about finances or stocks. I'm a basketball coach, right? So he would be really happy when crypto was doing good and the stock market was great. And if the stock market was crashing, he was not happy. I have a student athlete we mentor. He wasn't sure if he should be a doctor or a lawyer. And that was giving him major, major, you know, kind of like mental health issues because he didn't know what he wanted to do with his life. I think the one thing is just getting to know your players and investing in them. And I think that's where, when you start having guys who are in your program for multiple years, we had 7 seniors. We went through a lot of battles together. You know, we developed a really close relationship together because of that time aspect. There are things you can do on the court that help that. There are also things you can do off the court, you know, the team building stuff. With COVID last few years, you know, in the pandemic, it made it really hard for us to do a lot of stuff together off the court. There's a handful of years we spent a lot of time together eating meals. Simple, but every team does it. How do you do it? Are you doing it with your phones or without your phones, right? Are you asking pointed questions to facilitate group discussion when you're eating, or is everybody just on their phones eating and bolting? What games can you play? So it sounds kind of silly. You know, there are multiple times in the last few years, day before a game, I bring up the dodgeballs. People be like, are you crazy? Maybe, I don't know. But, you know, at the end of the day, you want to create that atmosphere where guys are excited to play and guys are excited to compete. And whether you're playing dodgeball or you're playing wiffle ball, guys love competing. It's something different. And the more different activities you could do with your guys, you know, the closer they can become. We've done team retreats here, which have been phenomenal, you know, like getting to know our guys a little bit better. We have given back to our community, you know. So one of the things we've done in the past is we go to the Lighthouse Youth Center. We haven't done it much the last couple of years, again, with the pandemic. But there are times on Friday nights we go in and we go to this local youth center and we serve meals, mentor the young men and women that are there and just spend time with them. The more time you can spend kind of off the court with your guys, the more you can get to know them. Latest example, we just put a PS5 in our locker room. So now we're allowed to hang out in our locker room again because, you know, a couple of years ago, we couldn't even hang out in our locker room. You'd be amazed all the informal relationships and conversations that can come into play when you start having like 2K tournaments, right? And to start playing 2K. I'm not as good as I used to be. I mean, it probably goes back to my NBA Live background, but I'm getting better. Hopefully by next year, I'm going to be able to beat some guys in our 2K tournaments. But you'd be amazed how you could just connect with guys. If a guy comes in my office, I have a couch in here. So I want to create, again, an atmosphere for our guys to just come in, hop on the couch, hang out. But when you start playing 2v2, 2K every other day with your guys for a while, you know, the relationships you can form and the things you can learn about them that you don't learn when you're just on the court from 3:30 to 5:30. And I think that's the biggest thing. We talk a lot as coaches about our life. So I'm a coach that's pretty much an open book. So I will talk about some of the struggles that I'm having in my life, some of the kind of negative thoughts that I'm having in my life. Maybe it's about a big game with my son's health. I've kind of talked very openly about that with my team, because I know if I talk about some of my struggles and the struggles that's going on in my family, because sometimes they think, oh, Coach Ani, he's got it all together. But we live in a sinful world. Everybody's got struggles. You'd be amazed the conversations that can come back, whether it's in a text, or I don't like texting a ton, so I like having face-to-face conversations with guys. After I talk about a struggle, every time I will at least get one player to come in and talk about a struggle they're having. And that's where you can form that true relationship, is when you can help those young men through some of those struggles. Because at the end of the day, that's what it's about. You want to get your guys to play hard. We can talk about X's and O's, and I love that stuff. But in order to get your guys to play as hard as you want them to get and have a great experience, you know, I look at this as hopefully I can be like their second dad. You know, hopefully I can be a guy who makes a difference on their life in a pivotal moment. You know, you look at 18 to 22-year-old young men, that's a very defining time in life. That was my defining time in life, right? I switched my major at least 30 times. I had no idea what I wanted to do. Looking back on it 20 years later, I've become a college coach. And yeah, maybe I don't make the millions of dollars that, you know, some coaches down the road from me make, but that doesn't mean I'm any less of a person. That doesn't mean my job is any less significant. And I think those relationships are genuine, and it's so fun. You know, I have about 10 weddings this summer, and I can't make them all, but they're all my former players. And it's awesome to go and just see them grow up, right? And see them get married and watch some of them have kids and all that fun stuff, because some I still stay in really, really close contact with. And there are times when it's 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, there might be a former player calling or texting saying, Coach, I need you. Coach, I'm struggling. And that's the fun part of what we do.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, let's wrap up on a question a little bit more lighthearted. So use your imagination a bit for me. And if you could have one superhero power to obtain, what superhero power would that be? And what would you do with it? And the answer can't be answer questions without answering questions, because you have that superpower already.
I'm really thankful you didn't answer the refrigerator question, because I was thinking about that all day yesterday. And I'm like, I have no idea what I would pull out of my refrigerator.
What would you have done if I would have asked you neither of those two and come up with something different?
I probably wouldn't have answered the question, like I probably didn't answer any of the questions here, Billy. So one superpower that I wish I could have, and maybe this isn't even a superpower, but I think it's something I strive to get more of every single day. It's wisdom. There are times in life where if I knew what the outcome was going to be, right, if I could play God a little bit, life would be a little bit easier, but he doesn't give me that ability. But just having the wisdom to know what to say, to know how to mentor people in a different way. You know, the famous, you know, most wise person in the Bible is Solomon. And it would be really, really nice to know how to mentor a player, my son, my daughter, my wife, or even myself, when you're going through one of the pitfalls or struggles in life and you can't figure out how to make your way out of the forest when there's a lot of trees there, to have the foresight to be like, all right, you're being strengthened right now. You're being tested, but here is the great stuff that's going to come on the back end. You know, I look at, you know, when I struggled with anxiety for a few years, when I was in high school and college, I didn't think I was ever going to get out of it. And I went from that ninth grader in high school who thought he was going to tackle the world and be the, I didn't think I was going to be MJ, but I really thought I could be like Scottie Pippen or Steve Kerr, to the kid who can't jump anymore, to the kid who is going in and out of surgery, to the kid who thinks he's good in basketball. And that's how he defines himself as a basketball player, which is the worst thing in life you can define yourself as, right? That's another thing I mentor my guys on a ton, to everything's taken away. And you have to figure out who the heck you are when you don't have that orange ball bouncing your way. And at the time, it seemed so overwhelming to me. And I could not understand life. But now I fast forward 18, 20, 25 years. And it sounds crazy. Maybe I didn't become the star player that I wanted to become. And maybe I didn't always want to have the surgeries I had and all the rehabilitation I had and maybe all the struggles I had. But man, did that strengthen me. And man, have I been able to help some young men out because I've went through those same struggles. But that was a tough few years for me. And that's a tough few years for the guys I'm mentoring right now, as they want to try and figure out who are they going to be with their life. You know, it's really, really overwhelming when I ask them some why questions, like, why do you play basketball? Or what are your three favorite things to do? Or, hey, you look back 35 years from now, how do you want your college career to go? Like, you can ask some deep questions and you can get some places with guys if you just probe a little bit. And I look back and I'm thinking, man, I'm so thankful I went through some of those struggles, but I did not have the wisdom back then. There's some things we're all going through in life. You're going through it, I'm going through it. That's like, man, that's hard. But I'm hopeful that I'm gonna look back in 20 years again and say, man, I'm really thankful I had to go through those things in order to win. We started on 1-9 my first year at WLC. 1-9. I didn't know if I was ever going to win a game, Billy. That's stressful. Fast forward 2 years, I think we were preseason pick, nothing. Definitely not top 6 or 7. And we went 16-4 and won the league. And you look at that struggle. I mean, that was a tough, tough first couple of years. And I had some guys that were awesome. And sometimes we didn't get the bounce of the ball to go our way. But now I have the wisdom to be like, well, man, I'm actually thankful we went through some of those things, because that taught us and it taught me how to learn and grow, because that's where you learn. You learn when you fail. Okay. And I don't call our guys losers. You know, we don't have winners and losers in our drills anymore. I'm switching that terminology too for next year. We have winners and learners.
The forest is where the most crucial learning happens, because, you know, you're struggling, whatever, but that's where the knowledge is gained from, is the struggle. Because oftentimes when we have the success, we brush it off because that's what we're supposed to do. And we have to stop, pause, take a second, recognize that, okay, this is going to be helpful in the future. But also in your situation, understand that the mindset of the 18 to 22 year old you're dealing with doesn't have that experience. So connecting them for them is so important.
Yeah. And constantly that ability to always learn and grow, right? 3 years ago, we did win our first conference championship here and we switched our whole defense. And I think it's that ability to not be afraid of change, right? And that's me. I don't like change at all. But that was for our betterment. Like, we were deeper. I thought it could be successful. I thought it would make us a little distinct. And we switched from, you know, playing matchup zones and half court defense to pressing 94 feet, switching. And we became one of the better defensive teams in the league. We still were the best rebounding team in the league. And it was successful for us. I do know that if we wouldn't have switched our style up, we might not have had as much success. So I think for coaches too, stay true to what you believe in. Don't be afraid to change once in a while. And you have to believe it before you can sell it, right? I think of the Don Meyer quote where he talked about having a notebook for everything. And I got tons of notebooks. But the older I've gotten now, I always say, if I can't like sleep the stuff I'm teaching, if I can't know it from the back of my head, if I can't go into almost a practice without a practice plan, which I never do, by the way, but that is how on point I need to be on my teaching. So if we ever hop on another podcast and we talk X's and O's, I should be able to talk about exactly everything I'm teaching off of my memory, because that means I believe it. That means I can teach it.
I love it. Great way to wrap it up. Coach Johnson, thanks for coming on the Hoop Nerds and sharing with us.
Thank you, Billy. It's been a pleasure.